Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13. Again, our message will be a topical message, a series that we're studying. Just involves that, so it's a lot of references. Do your best to keep up or just listen carefully. But Hebrews chapter 13. One of the debates in the past 30 years is the issue of lordship salvation. The question arises as to whether or not a person can be saved without receiving Jesus as their Lord. It seems to me that He comes as a package deal, and who He is cannot be dissected. In other words, if I believe on Jesus as my Savior, I must also believe on Him as my Lord. If He is my Lord, then I recognize His authority over me, and my responsibility to be in submission. Thus, I should endeavor to obey His commands. And by the way, His commands includes what we call sanctification. Opponents to lordship salvation would state that a person is saved by the Savior without any regard to how he or she might live after salvation. Then perhaps later on, the Christian will come to a deeper understanding of Christ and acknowledge Him as the Lord, and then surrender to His leadership and will. Under that scenario, a believer is not expected to live a consecrated, sanctified life. That is, not until he or she comes to recognize Jesus as Lord. But we believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. And for a sinner to be saved, Christ must be received as He is. Therefore, a newborn Christian is expected to take of the milk of the Word, so that he may grow thereby. And he is to strive to conform to his life to the Lord's. God has ordained that we should walk in good works, and that begins at the moment of salvation. We believe the Bible teaches sanctification. And this lesson for today takes up this issue. The title of this series is We Believe, and today is Sanctification. So what do we believe of sanctification? That's the title. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the day, and thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. Thank You for these that are here. We pray for those that would love to be here and cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We ask that You bless each one and meet those needs and heal the sick and be with those who are traveling, keep them safe. But we've come together today in Your name, and we ask that You would bless Your word as it goes out now, and as we study this subject of sanctification, help us to be aware of Your word and teach us by Your Spirit, and that, Lord, if we're Yours, we need to love You, to serve You, and we need to be sanctified and separate from the world. So help us to learn these things as we study today. We commit it to You. We ask in Jesus' name, and amen. So what do we believe of sanctification? The confession that we've been using states this: we believe that sanctification is that work whereby the believing sinner is set apart to God from sin, and that it involves three aspects which may be termed positional, progressive, and final. That positional sanctification is the setting apart once and for all, by the means of the blood of Christ, the believing sinner as God's own possession, so that in his standing he is reckoned holy. That progressive sanctification is the present work of God, whereby the believer, in his experience, is progressively set apart from sin and brought forward or toward perfection by the work of the Holy Spirit through the continual use of the appointed means, especially the Word of God, self-examination, self-denial, watchfulness, and prayer. And that final sanctification is the work in the future wherein God will wholly finish the process of perfection at the coming of Christ with His saints. This confession statement is listed in the bulletin on the back of the prayer list, along with the verse references that we'll be looking at and other chosen verses which I've offered to give unto you. So the first thing we want to notice concerning this confession in regard to the matter of sanctification is the definition itself. The confession stated, we believe that sanctification is the work whereby the believing sinner is set apart to God from sin, and it involves three aspects, and we'll look at those three aspects in just a moment, but let's concern ourselves with this definition. You're there in Hebrews chapter 13, And just realize that the scriptures talk about how those of us who are saved, we are sanctified. We have been set apart. That's just a statement, a declaration of scriptures. Verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life. He was crucified on the cross outside the gates, city gates of Jerusalem. They're on Golgotha. Why did he give up his life? Why did he shed his blood? So that he might sanctify the people. If you're saved today, you are sanctified. Now, this word sanctify in the text means to consecrate. It is to cleanse or to purify. Often we'll use the word set apart. And we've been set apart to God, but we've been sanctified. I will be coming back to Hebrews 10 in just a few moments, but if you can keep a finger there, then go over to the book of Acts chapter 26. We just want to notice several verses here stating the idea that we have been set apart to God. We have been sanctified. If you're saved, you are sanctified. And we'll discuss those other three terms in just a moment. Acts chapter 26, and in verse 18, the Apostle Paul is recounting to Agrippa what had happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, how that the Lord saved him and then gave him a commission in his ministry. And pick it up there in verse 18, where Paul is recounting what God told him. He says that he will go to send Paul to the Gentiles. And he says to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Those that are sanctified. Go back to chapter 20, Acts 20. Acts 20. Again, just a statement. If you're saved, you're sanctified. Acts 20, verse 32, Paul says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to the grace of God, commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." See that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know turning to these verses is a labor, but just do what you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul states to the Corinthian church about the people who are not saved and they give some descriptions about people that aren't saved. And in verse 11 he says, "And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you are sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so when he says in verse 9, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers," and verse 10, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards," and so forth, "these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you." That's what you used to be, but now you've been sanctified. You see? What were you before you were saved? Well, you were lost and you were undone, but you had some characteristics of your life, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified. There's a difference, isn't there? Now back to Hebrews chapter 10, where I had forewarned you that we would turn to Hebrews chapter 10. By the way, that word sanctified, and what we just noticed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, comes from the same word that we noticed before when we looked in Hebrews 13. It is to be cleansed or to be purified or to be consecrated. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. He says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Sanctified. And then one other verse under this definition, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Back to your left, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 30. Paul writes to the church of Corinth and he says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us," and Christ is so beneficial to us, but he states in this text, "is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We who are saved are sanctified unto God, set apart unto him, and we're purified, we're cleansed. And Christ is the one that does that. He is the one who is made unto us sanctification. And as we continue with the lesson, I would just remind you that if you're going to be saved today, you can only be saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other means. And you cannot be saved by your good works. You cannot be saved by your religion. Jesus Christ is made unto us sanctification. And if I'm going to be set apart, if I'm going to be sanctified, He's the one that does it. And so I'm saved today. I have been sanctified. If you're saved, you are sanctified. Now that confession stated three aspects of sanctification. And so let's notice the first one. And turn, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm adding this verse to the list. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As you turn over there, the first thing we want to concern ourselves with is that personal, or positional rather, sanctification. Positional sanctification. The statement read like this: that positional sanctification is the setting apart once and for all by the means of the blood of Christ, the believing sinner as God's own possession, so that he, that in his standing he is reckoned holy. Now those verses we just looked at would apply to this very same statement. But positional sanctification. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Notice what Paul writes, and he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Sanctification of the Spirit. God sets apart His own, and the Spirit works in our hearts, and God comes to us and convicts us and draws us and woos us, and God grants us life and grants us the graces of repentance and faith that we might be saved. And when you're saved, we've already stated clearly that you are sanctified. That's a positional sanctification, and that cannot be undone. Not that you want it to be undone. But there are some people who say, well, you can lose your salvation. And as Baptists, we say, well, once saved, always saved. There are people who don't agree with that statement. But if you're positionally sanctified, you're always sanctified. You're always set apart. Go, if you would, then to Ephesians, back to your left a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. If you're saved, you are positionally sanctified. It's a position. Ephesians 1:4. "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Holy and without blame before Him in love. That's purity, isn't it? That's cleansing. That's a sanctification. And so, if you're saved, you have been sanctified. Do you remember what it says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17? Says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's just who we are in a position. When God saved me way back there in 1974, He gave me a new life. I'm a new person. I'm not everything I ought to be. I understand that. And that deals with some of the progressive sanctification that we'll talk about in just a second. But when God saved me, He saved me. He gave me eternal life. And I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have been sanctified. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Again, back to your left. Romans chapter 6. Verse 22. Paul says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Will a Christian desire holiness? Will they pursue holiness? Yes, they will. That's what we're made free from sin. We're servants of God. And our fruit is unto holiness. Go up back earlier in this chapter, Romans chapter 6, and look at verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." We're dead with Christ, and so we're dead to sin. We're alive unto God. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. In our position, we have been sanctified. As a related text in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 10, Romans chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Recognize that to be true, dear Christian. And so there's a positional sanctification. Two more verse references. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, a little bit to the right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 2, The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, unto the church that is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The church of Corinth had a lot of problems, and they weren't the kind of people that they ought to be. And they struggled, and the Apostle Paul writes some corrective action unto them. But the fact of the matter is, as believers, they're sanctified. If you're saved today, you know Jesus Christ truly from your heart, and He is your Lord and Savior, you are sanctified. You have a positional sanctification. Let me read to you one other verse in connection with this, and then we'll go to the progressive sanctification. And I'm just going to read the book of Jude, that little epistle there, verse 1, Jude 1, 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, sanctified. So hopefully I've given you enough information here as you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I trust I've given you enough information for you to recognize that if you're saved, you can say of yourself, I am a Christian. I have been sanctified. I am set apart unto God. That's positional sanctification. Now, the majority of our verses that we're going to look at now is in this second point, and that is the matter of progressive sanctification. Because although we're positionally sanctified, we've been set apart to God, we're saved, well, we still live in this life, don't we? And we still have to face life day by day and live the life that God has ordained for us. And that means we need to deal with progressive sanctification. Let's consider what this statement said. That progressive sanctification is the present work of God, what God is doing in our lives now. The present work of God, whereby the believer, in his experience, is progressively set apart from sin and brought toward perfection by the work of the Holy Spirit through the continual use of the appointed means, especially the Word of God, self-examination, self-denial, watchfulness, and prayer. You're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I mentioned a moment ago that God saved me back in 1974. He changed my life. He made me different. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I was sanctified unto Christ. And you know what? I'm not everything I ought to be. I understand that. I'm not a perfect person. Just talk to Laura. She can tell you. She don't even have to think about it. She knows that I sin against God. She does too, so she's not going to tell you a whole lot. Because I can tell on her. But the fact is, we're sinners, right? But just like that kid's song says, that God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'm not everything I ought to be, but I'm not what I was. And when God saved me in 1974, I started to change. One of the first things I dropped off was the bad language, you know, the four-letter terms. I cursed like a sailor when God saved me, and I had to drop my language. I had to change the way I spoke because it just that kind of language is not consistent with a Christian walk. I changed the music I listened to. I changed the way I did. I started reading my Bible, started going to church. I mean, there were things that started making changes in my life. And God brought these changes, developments in me. It started causing me to be sanctified and more sanctified unto Him. And I've never been what I ought to be. But I'm not what I used to be. And I'm still striving to be what God would have me to be. But way back in 1979, and I told you guys many, many times, God worked in my heart a great conviction about reading the Word of God on a daily basis and a particular basis. And when I employed that matter of studying the Word of God or reading the Word of God on a daily occurrence, boy, God made a difference in me. And it was through the Word of God. I encourage you, Christian, get into the Word of God as much as you can. Get in it every day if you can. And let God work in your heart. That statement said that we are sanctified and God will use the Word of God to do it. And there are many things which God will use to make us change. Well, we have a number of verses to look at. And, well, if I keep chasing rabbits, we'll be spending a lot of time. And your lack of sanctification when it comes around noon will be saying, hey, come on, I'm not that sanctified. So we don't want to tarry too long. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 3. These are things that we ought to be thinking about as a Christian. If you say that you're saved, you ought to be sanctified unto God and work this in your life by God's grace. 1 Corinthians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And we hear so much, even so much lately, about Christian groups and the sexual sins that are going on. Paul said it's God's will that you avoid fornication. You possess your honor, your vessel in honor. It's a matter of sanctification. Back to John chapter 17. I'm just going to have to list these verses, or again, I will be way too long. John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus, in his earthly prayer to the Heavenly Father on the night that he was betrayed, stated this statement in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And God will use the word of God to sanctify us. Love the word. Get into the word. Continue to come and hear it preached. It will make a difference in your life if you'll let God speak to you from his word. Sanctify them, Jesus prayed, through thy truth, and thy word is truth. Skip to verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Didn't say his disciples were perfect, but I want to sanctify them through the truth. And so it's necessary to pursue after the truth. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, talking in reference to the church, says that Christ might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing by the water of the Word. Christ desires to sanctify His church. You're a member of Grace Memorial Baptist Church. You ought to desire to live a sanctified life, separate, dedicated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to your left, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says in verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That is, I ought to be more in the image of Jesus Christ today than I was when I was first saved back in 1974. And as I grew and developed and matured and was sanctified in 1980 or 1990 or 2000, today I should be more in the image of Jesus Christ than I was then. Why? Because I need to be progressively become sanctified. That's progressive sanctification. And we want to be more like Him. Go to chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. One page to the right, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Is that something we desire as children of God? We should. We won't be perfect at it, and we know that we're going to sin, and we're going to sin by choice, but we know that God's desire for us is to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. That's a large mandate, isn't it? But what that is, that addresses progressive sanctification. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I know this is a big challenge. Don't get discouraged. Remember, it's progressive. When you started school in kindergarten, now they have pre-K and all that stuff. I started in kindergarten. But, you know, Mom had taught me some colors and numbers and stuff like that, you know, maybe some letters. But I've progressed, right? You go from kindergarten to first grade to second grade. You want to progress. That's the point of it. We want to have a progressive sanctification. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Walk worthy of the Lord. Increase in the knowledge of God. Do you know more about Jesus than you knew 5 years ago? Are you aware of His character? Do you live more like Him? Do you reflect Him more? than you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. That's progressive sanctification. We need to do that. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We believe these things because they're biblical. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says that He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 11. Did I say verse 11? For the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The perfecting of the saints. We ought to desire to go for perfection. Progressive sanctification. And for the edifying of the body, the church should be greater, more like the Lord Jesus Christ than when we were last year or the year before. Our church ought to be growing toward Christ. We as individuals ought to be growing toward Christ. That's progressive sanctification. An example, Philippians chapter 3 of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3. Listen to Paul's expression. I know it's King James, but try to pay attention. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now, reckon that statement. When Christ apprehended him, there was a purpose that God had for him, right? And so he says, I want to apprehend that, what he has apprehended me for. Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." See, it's progressive. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, and if anything, in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." That's progressive sanctification. We need to grow and develop and mature in Jesus Christ. A very familiar text, Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12. You might even have this verse memorized. Oh, it'd be a good thing to memorize. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Verse 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's just logical. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's progressive sanctification. We need to be submitted, surrendered to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious." How tremendous is that? Just like a baby wanting milk, and he's going to need that milk to grow. You as a Christian need to desire the milk of the word so that you might grow. That's progressive sanctification. Growing, isn't it? Maturity. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You ever have that trouble? You ever have that problem? Sure we do. It's difficult sometimes. Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Does that mean I give up? Does that mean, oh, well, you know, I'm going to sin, so I'm just going to enjoy it as much as I can? No. As a Christian, I ought to desire to put those things aside that are wrong and to put on the things that are right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says that we ought to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to be praying, asking God to work in us this progressive sanctification. And we need to be praying one for another that we might grow and develop. Go back to chapter 4, book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Verse 22, Paul says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's progressive sanctification. Put off the old man, the old ways. Put on the new man. those things which are after righteousness, godliness, and holiness. Go at the end of the chapter there, Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 30. Some of this expression is found here, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice that sealing. If you're saved, you're saved. You have positional sanctification. But don't grieve that Holy Spirit. You need to be involved in progressive sanctification. So, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Progressive sanctification. You understand that? Did we give enough verses to demonstrate that? See, that's the problem when... And go, if you would, to the book of Philippians. That's the problem when we deal with those who would say a lordship salvation isn't true, because they're saying, well, I can be saved and I just live my life however I wish and I don't have to worry about cleansing or confessing or sanctification until God works in my heart that He is the Lord. That's an error in doctrine. When God saved me, He became my Lord and Savior. And so I need to recognize Him as Lord, and I need to serve Him and be obedient unto Him. And that's progressive. Well, that leads us then to the last item. We talked about positional sanctification and progressive sanctification. Let's notice momentarily, I only have a few verses here, and we'll be finished. Final sanctification, and this is good news for us as well. The statement read like this, that final sanctification is the work in the future wherein God will wholly finish the process of perfection at the coming of Christ with His saints. Do I believe that one of these days I'll be made in the image of Jesus Christ? And this perfection that I'm supposed to be striving toward and attaining that which He has attained me for, that's not going to happen as long as I'm in this flesh. But one of these days I'm going to see Christ face to face, and then I'm going to be perfect. Then I'm going to be right. Well, that's final sanctification. Philippians chapter 1. Will God do that? If you are saved, the one who has sanctified you and the one who is working in you a sanctification as you live day by day, will He finally, in the end, make it totally secure? Total sanctification. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad for that. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about, you know what, I didn't hang on, cling on, work on, and all that stuff, and I'm not going to make it. I don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because God, when He saved me, sanctified me, and He's working in my life now. And, that's just evidence of the fact that one of these days I'm going to be in the image of Jesus Christ. And He that began that good work, He will complete it. Go to chapter 3, book of Philippians. Look at verse 20. Paul writes this, and he said, for our conversation, that's our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. One of these days, every believer will be made in the image of Jesus Christ. What a glorious day that will be. We'll lay aside this old flesh that just follows after sin, and we struggle with that. I didn't even make reference to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, where he said, well, the things that I would do, I don't do, and the things that I wouldn't do, those are the things that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I didn't even reference that. But the fact of the matter is, one of these days, Christ is going to come back. I'm going to be made in His image. I'm going to lay aside sin forever. And when we read about heaven, you know, and it talks about no more sickness and no more sorrow and all that, well, there's no more sin either. That'll be final sanctification. God has ordained that I should walk in good works, and I may fail that while I live in this life, but when I see Jesus face to face, I will have a glorious body made like unto His glorious body, and I will not sin anymore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God will preserve us, because He that began that good work will complete it. And one of these days, I'll see Christ. First John chapter 3. Three verse references and I'm finished. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I like this verse. What an encouragement to every one of us who are sanctified. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." You get the statement, don't you? Positional sanctification. Now are we the sons of God. It says, "And it does not yet appear what we shall be." We're not there yet, are we? That's progressive sanctification. But notice, he says, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's final sanctification. God's still working on me. And one of these days, he's coming back. And I'm going to be in his image. And I'm going to lay apart this body of sin. And I'll be as he would have me to be. That's true for every one of us. Because God will fulfill his word. Related text, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is the next to the last verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. When we read this text, it kind of gives a summary of salvation. Notice what it says. Moreover, this is Romans 8:30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Glorified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm not everything I ought to be, but I will be when I see Jesus face to face. Last verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12. Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." The Bible teaches sanctification. The Bible teaches three aspects of sanctification: positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, and final sanctification. And I'll tell you, if you're saved, that ought to just really thrill your heart. It shouldn't scare you. "Oh, if I got to live like a Christian, I don't think I want to be one." That's a terrible attitude to have. You need to search your heart. Maybe you're not a Christian to begin with, if that's your perspective. But I'll tell you, as a Christian, to be set apart unto God and God working in our hearts day after day after day, and yet one of these days he's going to make it complete when we see Jesus Christ. You can't get any better promise than that. What a joy it is to be saved, to know Jesus Christ. But if we are saved, then we ought to desire to follow after him, to be obedient unto him. And there's so many things in Scripture. I just gave you just a smattering of verses talking about how we ought to live. And, may we have, at this present time, a progressive sanctification. And may we live for our Lord. May we love him. And sinner, I point you to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. He's the only one that can sanctify you. Would you repent and believe on the Lord and be saved today? And then live for him. Let's stand. Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for your word. Just speak it to our hearts. Give us understanding by your Spirit and apply it to everyone here today. You know the need of every heart. We ask for those that are lost that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. We pray that they would be saved today. We who are saved, that we might recognize that you are our Lord and Savior, and we need to love you and to serve you and to be found faithful to you. Cause us to be sanctified in our lives. Let us put off the bad things, put on the good things by the work of your Spirit in our hearts. Draw us to you. Forgive us for our sin. And thank you for what you're going to do. We love you. We honor you and we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Song is number 438, if you would. Please turn to 438.